Thank you for coming with us. If this is your first time with us, we truly are happy to have you here. If this is your second, third, or 5,000th time, it sure is good to see you again. I've got some good news. Really, my phone just thinks I'm talking to it now. That's wonderful. I have some good news and I have some bad news. The good news, we only have a week until Christmas. The bad news, we only have a week until Christmas. So I hope, if you're like me, you have Amazon Prime and you can go do some shopping tonight. The amazing thing about that is my wife still sees the bill, so she knows exactly what I got her before Christmas. If you are having your first time with us today, I have some more bad news for you. You're catching us in the middle of a series of Advent, and this is week 3 out of week 4. That's the bad news. The good news is later on we are going to have some time for you to catch up on the gifts we have unwrapped, because this Advent series talks about the gifts of Christmas. Can you all hear me okay? Okay, I normally don't hear the thunderous echo, maybe. And the first two gifts that we have unwrapped, we'll examine a little bit later, but please understand, we don't want you to feel left out, so we want to catch up. Today, as we get started talking about the next gift of Christmas in our Advent series, I want us to join together in one more song, that wonderful Christmas hymn, Hakuna Matata. What? You don't know that one? Okay, it goes a little like this. Hakuna Matata, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. No? Nobody? All right, well, before you decide I've already had too much eggnog or Miss Fogarty's Christmas cake, I know it's Joy to the World, okay? I'm a youth pastor. I'm not that crazy. It's not Hakuna Matata, but that Swahili phrase made popular in the 1994 animated film. Let me hear it, girls. Lion King, because we were talking about it in Sunday school this morning. It sometimes seems to be the way we approach joy, especially this Christmas season. That phrase means no worries, and it's sung by a meerkat named Timon and a warthog named Pumbaa as they are trying to convince the young lion Simba to put his problems aside and just live for the moment. It's their problem-free philosophy, and let's be honest, it's an appealing one. But no worries is not what the angels sang on that first Christmas. Instead, they proclaimed good news of great joy to all people. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. That's what we're talking about today. The gift of joy. As we approach Christmas, we often hear about joy and how joyful the season is. So we try to cram all the other feelings other than joy aside or deep down inside. If we don't feel joyful, we try hard to create joy by tossing our problems aside, ignoring them for the time being, and just living in the moment. But that's not the joy of Christmas. And while it may be nice for a moment, it's shallow and short-lived. See, joy that is based on a moment will only last for that moment. The gift of joy offered to us in Christ Jesus this Advent season is one of deep and lasting joy. It is a joy so powerful, it can hold its own in a dark and hurting world, even in the midst of your troubles and struggles, every single one of you. It can hold its own. We'll talk a little bit later about how we can open ourselves to this joy that is presented to us during the Advent season. But for now, I want to invite you to come in a spirit of honesty. Bring your problems. Bring your struggles. Have them at the forefront of your mind while we're talking this morning. Because I got some good news for you and some joy that you need to hear. So you don't have to cast your worries aside to unwrap this gift of joy that Peter calls inexpressible and full of glory. Open with me, if you would, in your copy of the Scriptures to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. If you don't have your copy of the Scriptures, that's okay. As you can see, the text is going to be up on the screen. That's so you know I'm not making anything up. This is out of the English Standard Version. If you don't own a Bible, please speak to me or one of our greeters. We have a copy, a gift for you, no strings attached. You take it home, it's yours. Because it is the most powerful thing on this planet. It will change your life. It's changed mine and many others in this room. So please don't leave without a Bible today. Now, if you would, stand with me as we read God's word, as we honor what he has given to us. Our text says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Thank you. You may be seated. Are you looking for that kind of joy? Inexpressible, beyond words. Would you like that kind of joy? Before we dig into how we can have that joy, join with me in a word of prayer. Lord, our world is rushed. This time of year brings heightened stress and strained budgets. The busyness of the season hardly gives us the time to pause and truly enjoy the blessings you have given to us. We ask that today you would open our eyes to real, lasting joy. A joy that is inexpressible and filled with your glory. We ask this all in your name. Amen. If you've been able to join us over the past couple of weeks, you know that we began the journey through the season of Advent by unwrapping the gifts of hope and love. Now, the word Advent simply means coming or arrival. And the season is marked by expectation, waiting, anticipation, longing. Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It is a season that links the past, the present, and the future. Advent offers us the opportunity to share in the ancient waiting for the Messiah to come, to celebrate his birth, and to anticipate his coming again someday, that we know not when. And during Advent, we light candles on a wreath, which represent Jesus shining a light into a dark world. As we celebrate this Advent season with our own Advent wreath, we will light one candle each week that represents a specific aspect, a specific gift that he brought as he came and shone a light into this world. Each flame of these four candles brings us closer to the one central candle, the true light that was born in Bethlehem. The first of Advent, we lit the candle of hope. We talked about hope past, present, and future as we looked at prophecies that looked forward to the birth of Jesus. And we were challenged to put our hope in him, even amidst our deepest struggles and trials. And we were reminded of the hope that is yet to be fulfilled for us until the day he comes. Past, present, and future hope. Then, last week, we lit the candle of love and talked about how we can accept, experience, and then share the love, the deep love that God has for us as we understand how long and how wide and how high and how deep his love is for us, demonstrated in the person of Jesus Christ. Today, we light the candle of joy. Now you'll notice our decorators did not pull a faux pas. It is a different color candle. On purpose. The other three candles are supposed to be sober reflection. This week is pink. This is a color that reflects celebration. So we're going to have a party after our service today. A meal. We are going to celebrate together. We are going to enjoy one another. Because this is the joy of Christmas. Advent is a season to experience the joy of the coming of the Savior of the world. It is more than just a feeling. It's a joy that causes all of creation to celebrate such rejoicing. Do you see where that word came from now? That causes all of creation to celebrate. And it's talked about in Psalm, like Psalms 96, 11 through 13, that says, "Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the seas roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes." Oh, that is a powerful joy, isn't it? In Advent, we are preparing and expecting. Jesus is coming. Let's rejoice. Amen. This is the gift we unwrap today, and it isn't forced. It is real. I want you to understand this isn't a show that we Christians put on. No, friends. This is a deep celebratory joy, as we'll see in a moment. This is the gift of joy. But the question that nags many of us so often, and I've heard a few of you say it, what if you don't feel the joy? What if you don't feel joy right now? I mean, seriously, how can you expect me to experience joy when I'm going through the suffering that comes from disease, the grief of an abusive parent, the busyness of holiday preparation, the stress of getting things ready for the end of the year, the boredom of being trapped for months on end because we can't get out now, the loneliness left by the loss of a loved one, or the pain of a spouse whose love has grown cold? How can you experience joy in the midst of that? Pastor, you're such a hypocrite. You expect me not to put these problems aside, but then say, "Feel joy." I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you think that. We're going to talk about that. Because even in the midst of our hardest times, you and I can experience joy. Real, lasting joy. That is the gift of joy. Let's look together at how we can anticipate, recognize, and choose joy. First, you need to anticipate joy. Have you ever been waiting for something so long that you forgot it was coming? Maybe you gave up hope that it would ever arrive. Or maybe it was on its way the whole time and you didn't even realize it. You might have heard some stories about postal deliveries being delayed by a few days, maybe even months. Well, there's some great stories about them taking a little bit longer. An 80-year-old woman in France received a letter written to her great-grandfather in 1877. She received this letter in 2015. 138 years later, folks. Now, fortunately, it was simply a request for some wool from his spinning mill. It wasn't anything serious. A much more poignant picture and delivery was written about in the Washington Post in 2015. This delivery reached its intended recipient 14 years after it had been sent. The letter was written from a father all the way in the other side of the world, on India, to his son who lived in New York City, and it was handwritten only a few short weeks after 9/11. It was even more confusing to the son who received the letter because his father had passed away a few years earlier. As he described in the newspaper essay, the man was flooded with emotions as he sensed the connection to his father by holding this letter, something physical that his father had created. Tears flooded his eyes as he read about his father expressing concerns about his son's and grandchildren's safety and about the events happening in the world during that tragic time. In the article, the son wrote, "14 years is a long time to wait for a letter, but rarely has one been more welcome. The expression of concern in the letter is sadly still relevant today, but the physical letter itself was a real joy. And certainly an unexpected one, I would suppose. Normally don't get letters from loved ones posthumously. But this joy was on its way the whole time. The letter would have been meaningful had it arrived on time, but it took on such deeper emotions over time. Joy can be that way, whether we know it's coming or not, whether we've given up hope that it would ever arrive. When we started Advent talking about hope, we looked at the history of the people of Israel who were waiting for a Messiah for thousands of years, generations. That's a tough wait. Certainly, some had given up hope that the Messiah would ever come. They got distracted by the daily routine, going day in, day out, going through the motions, probably not ever thinking they would ever see this Messiah that they had anticipated for so long. But some held out hope. They were waiting actively. And when we wait actively, when we anticipate what's coming and we watch for it, our waiting has purpose, has meaning. Hope stays alive by our active waiting. Joy is similar. Even when we don't feel joy right now, we as Christians, as the people of God, can anticipate the day when that joy is made complete, when He comes. We still anticipate that day of joy. And oh, what a day that will be. We can prepare to move from our state of discouragement or oblivion to life-giving, invigorating joy. Now, the shepherds in the Christmas story that we heard about are a great example of this. When the angel showed up and delivered the message of the Messiah to these shepherds on a hill outside Bethlehem, they didn't feel joy right away. They were shaking in their sandals. They were afraid because they didn't have 3D projectors back then. All of a sudden, there is a light and a being speaking to you from the sky. What's your normal response? They were afraid. That's why Luke tells us in Luke chapter 2, the angel of the Lord said to them, "Fear not." Now, let me pause for a moment. This is a great chapter to read on Christmas Day. Families, I'm taking a moment as a youth and family pastor to speak to families. If you don't have this tradition yet, set this up in your home. Read Luke chapter 2 before you even touch a present underneath that tree. You read to your kids about the greatest gift ever given that they just sang about before you touch all the other minor ones that are merely representations. Set up that tradition. I know it's going to seem like a tedious task and you're going to have to fight your kids off of the presents at first, but I promise you, as one whose parents made this a practice, it will make a huge difference in what they prioritize in life. Start that practice. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. That will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The angel first addressed their fear and then helped them move beyond it to see the joy that had come into their world. The Messiah they had been anticipating had come. The Savior had been born. By the end of the night, those shepherds got it. Just 10 verses later, in verse 20, it said that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. That's what happens when we anticipate joy. All that time we have been waiting will result in rejoicing and celebration. Anticipate joy. As we walk through Advent, we know what's coming. We have the advantage of looking back at this event. We know that Christ was born. We know that Messiah came. And this we can celebrate and rejoice over. But we know there's more to come with His eventual return. This we still must anticipate actively. Are you ever driving to work on Monday morning and go, "Maybe today Christ would come"? Maybe sometimes we wish He would. But do you ever actively wait? looking to the sky and saying, is it now? Is it now? Is it now? Anticipate actively. Let's experience Advent as a season when we anticipate the arrival of joy, even when we struggle with the realities of today. That someday there will be joy. Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Whatever you are going through, Advent reminds us that there will come a day that all your struggles will come to an end. Every single one of them. Divorce, cancer, back pain, unemployment, every single thing, a wayward child, every single problem will turn into joy on that day. That's what we anticipate. We anticipate that joy. In order for us to anticipate joy effectively, we must learn to recognize joy. If we spend all this time waiting for joy, but we lack the ability to recognize it, we will miss it. It could literally land in our lap, and it will do us no good unless we can recognize joy. Do you ever wonder why, out of all the people, those kings, those wise men, were the only ones to recognize the sign of the star and come and worship the Messiah that everybody had been anticipating and waiting for? Guys that weren't even from Israel, by the way. Foreigners. Got it? Did you ever wonder that? I mean, it was a star. It wasn't like it was hiding from people. It was a billboard in the sky saying, here he is! The Messiah in their backyard, and they missed it. Their deliverer had just been delivered, and they couldn't recognize it. But those kings, those wise men, it caused great joy when they recognized it. Matthew chapter 2 tells us that when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The Magi traveled a long way to find the child whose birth had been foretold by that star, announced by that star. They had to deal with a deceptive king and tyrant, Herod. They had even lost sight of the star for some time, but they kept seeking because they knew what they were looking for. They knew the joy that he was and the joy that he brought into this world. They recognized the arrival of joy in the world, and they were filled with joy as they responded to it, bringing their gifts in worship to Jesus. Are you going to do that this Christmas? Will you recognize that joy that Christ has already brought and one day will bring into completion? It can be hard to recognize joy in our lives sometimes, especially because it doesn't always look the way we expect it to. We expect it to be, you know, the no worries type of joy, Hakuna Matata. No hardships connected to it. Complete peace. But the Bible tells us that joy is found in the midst of and even because of our hard times. James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 3 says, count it all joy, my brothers. Let me back that up. It's a joy when you meet trials of any kind. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. There most definitely is nothing Hakuna Matata about that brand of joy, amen? But how much richer and deeper is the experience of joy when it glows bright, illuminating our path even in our darkest moments? That's what happens when we recognize joy. We must anticipate joy. We must recognize joy. And when we recognize that joy comes from trials because it gives us steadfastness, it makes us the people God wants us to be and has designed us to be in the midst of those trials, then we can experience joy even in the midst of hard times. And we find joy when we find joy, real lasting joy. We must choose joy. It is possible to anticipate joy and recognize it when it comes for what it is. and still not choose it and miss out on that blessing. Matthew chapter 2 earlier on told us that these wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And there was great rejoicing in the land, right? Oh no. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The king of the people who had been waiting for the Messiah gets news that the Messiah is here. He recognizes the signs, and he sees it as a threat, as a problem, as anything but a joy. And it's not just the king. It says the entire city joined in with him, being troubled about this. You can anticipate joy. You can recognize joy and still not choose it because it doesn't fit what you think joy should be. And you cheat yourself out of the joy God has for you. Not only did the king see this as a threat and a problem, he closed himself to the joy that God had presented to him on that first Christmas. You must anticipate joy. You must recognize joy, and you must choose joy. Now, this last action is a little deceptive, so we're going to unpack it just a little bit. Because you can't really choose joy, right? We can't just close our eyes, focus really hard, and conjure up joy within ourselves. In fact, that quite often moves us away from real joy, God-honoring, biblical joy. Joy is a gift. That's why we're talking about the gift of joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of your efforts. So we can't just create it by trying harder. If you haven't tried hard enough to produce joy in your life, good, stop. Let God do it. We can, however, choose to live lives in the way that God says will bring joy, real, lasting joy. It's like your physical health. Have you ever thought yourself strong? Lucas, where are you, man? Lucas, when you're in the gym, do you mentally sit there and think, "Ooh, I'm pumping 50 pounds with my right arm"? No, man. And in order to get it done, what do? You do it. Joy is much the same way. We can't make these mental decisions that, "Ooh, I'm going to be more joyful. I'm going to fake it." This isn't something that you can fake it till you make it. It's not the way joy works. It is an exercise. It is a practice. And God says that while we can't choose joy, we can choose thankfulness. We can choose obedience. And we can choose to abide. And those open us up to the gift of love, or gift of joy. And let's look a little closer at how we can live and choose those things. First, choose gratitude. Try it sometime. Try it out loud. List 3, 5, 100 things you can be grateful for when you don't feel joyful. Look at the past. Just like hope has an aspect that is past, so does joy. God has been doing so much in your life. The fact that you could come here this morning, you have countless joys from the time you opened your eyes and breathed your first breath this morning until right now, countless blessings from God. Write it out. You might be surprised how quickly your list grows. And I know, Thanksgiving is over, right? No, Thanksgiving should be every day because there's everything we have to be thankful for. Now, you might get tired of the turkey, but you can always give thanks. Now, this does seem kind of counterintuitive, doesn't it? Because when we don't feel joy, what's our typical tendency? Yeah, complain, gripe. This is wrong, that's wrong, everybody's wrong. But what if you said, you know what? Yep, some things stink, but I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to be grateful for what God has done, for those things that aren't going wrong. What if we chose gratitude? That's why Paul instructed the Thessalonians to rejoice always. By the way, guy was in prison, guy was shipwrecked, stoned, he had a lot of problems in his life. And he's telling them, yeah, you rejoice no matter what. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in good circumstance. Oh, all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Gratitude goes a long way, and it leads to joy. By looking back and seeing what God has done in the past. When you don't know what to do, when you feel hurried by this season, when you feel anything but joy, give thanks. And then, in the present moment, choose to obey. In John 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples about how to have a fullness of joy. Next Sunday, some of us are going to be traveling. We are going to be packing our vehicles to the gills with presents and luggage and kids and pets and everything else that we want to take with us, some of us including the kitchen sink. It is going to be a full vehicle. Jesus talks to his disciples about having a joy that is that full, not a square inch, nothing can be added to it. It is complete. See, he tells them, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." So everything he had spoken to them up until this point would lead them to that fullness, that complete joy that you and I are longing for. So what did he tell his disciples? What's his secret? One word, obey. He tells them in the previous verse, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." He told his followers to obey his commands. We often want joy to just appear out of nowhere, zapped through the ether into our heart by the miraculous working of God. But Jesus said, okay, that can happen, but you got to obey first. That's how you get full joy. So if you are not walking in obedience to God and you're not feeling joy, guess what the problem is? It's not on God's end. If you're not feeling joy, ask yourself, am I obeying? 9 times out of 10, I've found that's the problem. I'm not feeling joyful because I'm living in a way that God won't bless. And it hurts because he cares about me and doesn't want me to live in that way. Because that brings his joy. Jesus said it comes from obedience, so choose to obey. Now, choosing to obey is the ever-present. We had choosing gratitude in the past. Obedience is the present. Moment by moment, submission. Like gratitude, obedience is a practice. It's an ongoing process of seeking to follow God's way and put his word into action in our lives. And we don't always get his ways right. But the more we align ourselves with God's word to understand his ways and then choose actions that align with his word and wisdom, the more we open ourselves to experience the good fruit, the natural result of those choices. And the more we prepare ourselves to encounter and receive his joy. To choose joy, after we have chosen gratitude and chosen obedience, we must choose to endure, to continue on, to live there. We must choose to use an old word, abide. The Big Lebowski, the dude abides. We abide in him, okay? We abide in Christ. In John 15:10, Jesus also tells the second part of his secret of joy, and it's a love triangle. He says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Just a few verses before, in chapter 14:21, Jesus had told his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Jesus said that just as he remains in his Father's love, we remain in his love through obedience, and our joy is complete. This is not an immediate, quick satisfaction concept that we look for so often when we seek for joy. It's the idea of continual love and relationship with Jesus that brings the gift of joy in our lives. We must be abiding in him. It must be a pattern of our lives that we are living in him. See, earlier on in this chapter, Jesus used the metaphor of the vine and the grapes because he is talking about an ongoing, nourishing, fruit-bearing process of living in Him that produces good fruit. The same is true in our relationship with Him. And our joy is made complete by imitating Christ's love in obedience. In closing, let this season of Advent be a time of gratitude, obedience, abiding in His love as we anticipate His joy that He brings this Christmas. Anticipate, recognize, and choose joy. As we begin this last week before Christmas, some of you can already feel joy welling up within you. Some of you are trying to conjure up a joy that will only last a few weeks into 2017. And others, joy couldn't be a more foreign concept. I want you to know that every single one of us, all of us, have the exact same access to the exact same joy that was gifted to us that very first Christmas. If we anticipate, recognize, and choose joy. Let's pray. God, thank You that in this season of Advent, we can receive and unwrap the gift of joy. Help us to anticipate, recognize, and choose joy as we give thanks, obey, and abide in You. Lead us into joy as You lead us into deeper relationship with You. Give us the courage and strength to rejoice no matter what circumstances we face. And make our joy complete in You. Amen. Before we close our service with